I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So, Fran, let's talk about 2023, okay?
Sorry.
Just like,
do we have to? The year that will never end.
I feel like, but damn. Truth be told, I mean, the last three, like since the panty, like it's been awful.
Since the panty, I have said multiple times, I'm ready for no more historic life-changing events. I'm done. Can I just have a normal ass year?
I mean, and it's dead ass in like the middle of our lifetime, you know, which is like, a, you know, I'm talking about like that bench. This year is a benchmark year. You know what I'm saying? That milestone year. How are you feeling about it? Girl, talking about that 4-0.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, wait,
she's gonna be making a bunch of noises.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. So you have already turned 40.
Right,
I'm on the cusp. I can see it in my back. I can see 40 from my backyard. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm not sad or like stressed about it. I think it's just like disorienting. Like, oh, I'm a full ass adult. Like I'm a grown ass bitch.
Yeah. And didn't it seemed like so far off in the fucking distance. It seemed like just like older was just away. It was so far away. And then you woke up one day and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. I remember being in like elementary school or middle school and saying to someone, like my mom came and picked me up from school and they were like, your mom's so pretty. And I was like, she is 40. and I remembered saying it like, how are those two things simultaneously happening? Because right. 40 is like old, but it's not old. It's just
older.
It's just older.
Older than you were yesterday, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's true. And there's a saying that I saw that I thought was so funny. It's at 20, you think about what everyone thinks about you. When you're 40, you stop caring what people think of you. And when you're 60, you realize that no one was actually thinking about you. And whoever said that is spot on.
I'm feeling that too, legit. I'm thinking it's like slowly fading out of the bloodstream, like worrying about what you're thinking about me. And I've heard of this before, and not that I'm trying to be 60 years old, but I am trying to like not work.
Channel
realize,
that.
Yeah. Realize that y'all ain't thinking about, y'all think about you. You ain't thinking about me.
Yeah. Yeah. I would add to that saying, and when you're 80, you're like, where am I?
You're like, where is the walker? Oh goodness. Listen, it's coming. It's coming no matter how you, we're getting older. We're getting
older.
Yes,
it's true. We are getting older, but hear me when I say this. Francesca is coming into her own. She ain't taking no shit. And she ain't taking your shit.
Wait, you ain't taking my shit? What shit am I giving Francesca?
No, sorry. I don't mean you. I mean like the proverbial you. But I'm not taking your shit either. You like the word proverbial? I know you love a word.
You know I love a proverbial. Shoot, a figurative, okay? Well, listen, you better be out here feeling yourself, okay?
Finding herself, feeling herself. You know, we doing a half twerk, not a full twerk. Ooh. Just one butt cheek going, just
right,
a little bit.
Right, because you ain't trying to throw out that back, or are you? Hey! She might be.
Not you coming for my back. It's so true.
Wait, she is though. She's her roots are strong. Her leaves are sprouted, you know.
Her feet are planted. Her vision is clear.
Her wit is sharp. Her knees are nimble.
Well, you know, we can't all be Meg Thee Stallion over here, my knees.
Yo, the slow go down. Guys, we are talking about how Megan Thee Stallion showed up at Beyonce's concert in 2023. The slow go down with that booty popping. Oh,
the core engagement. Let me tell you, every time Meg comes across my timeline, I'm like, yep, I'm going to the gym today. I'm going to go. I'm going to eat my calcium because I got to keep these bones strong.
Oh, girl, tell me about it. I mean, here's the thing. I feel like black women always knew that like the thick was it, but the world woke up about 20 years ago.
Oh yeah. Even I mean, it's so true. The thin look of gaunt, you ain't had no meals. We want to be somebody who looks like they get a snack.
Right,
they a snack,
right.
And they haven't snacked.
Yeah, forget about Kate Moss. We do this thing though, friend, that I wanted to talk about. We talk in the third person all the time, and I don't know where it came from. It just kind of, it's like a thing.
It came from you. I didn't start that mess. You are the person.
Well, listen, and she funny sopped too. It up like a biscuit, though, didn't she?
She sure did. She has definitely adopted it as her own. Okay. No, it's so true, because my favorite, though, is like you and I will be hanging out with like new friends or people that don't know us as well. And you'll say like, he loves a blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, who likes what?
That is my favorite thing, because people, and then you have to explain it. You have to go, I'm like, oh no, I do this thing where I'm being ridiculous and I talk about myself being ridiculous and, you know, step outside of myself and see the person you're seeing, you know?
Yes.
But it so makes it like, way less funny.
Yeah, I know. It kind of kills it. But it's also hearing you explain it as like stepping out of yourself. So is it kind of like, the world is your audience? You're always on stage. Oh, he's acting.
Girl, all the world's a stage, you know. Fran, who said that? All the world's a stage.
I don't know, but they better come and collect your ass now. Copyright infringement, cease and desist.
Ooh, wait. No.
Listen. Wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. Well, hello and welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast where we review things that we love and things that we love to hate. And then we say, let me fix it. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And this is Let Me Fix It, the podcast that leaves you wondering, if 40 years old is a new 30, what does that make Naomi Campbell? Black. Naomi Campbell has melanin going for her. She also sold her soul to the devil to look like that, just like J-Lo and Brad Pitt.
Stop.
All of those folks.
Tituba would be like, that's the one. That's the witch.
Tituba. I hate you for Tituba. You better take me back to the Scarlet Letter. Okay. Oh my God.
So as you know, DeLon and I are always talking about music, TV, things in the zeitgeist. But this week on the pod, we wanted to do something a little bit different and do a round robin of topics that are on our hearts. And then as usual, we're going to do our best to fix them.
Yeah. And the thing I'm really excited about it, Fran, is that neither of us knows what the other's topics are. So I'm excited to like do it on the fly. And I'm also like a little anxious to hear yours, because I want to like respond with a fix. But, you know, I'm like, in real time. But I feel like you're going to kill it, Fran, because like you're good on the fly.
No, you're good on the fly too. And I also think, you know, the thing that I love about you through our friendship and the show is that you bring a real sense of like vulnerability and honesty and humor to your fixes. And you think about things in like a really heartfelt way. So it's going to be fun, especially because I know some of these topics are going to be messy and frivolous.
I mean, you should say more about what I bring to life. And
not me turning into your Hinge profile.
Okay, ready? Let's dive in. Let me fix it. The round robin games.
Okay, so I wanted to start off this conversation with a little DeLon factoid. That's what I'm calling it anytime we add some historical context to our topics. About the origins of the phrase red round robin. Because truth be told, I was not familiar with that phrase until the Google Doc showed up in my inbox. And I was like, rockin' robin. That's what came to my mind. So in sports, a round robin is a tournament where all participants must face everyone else in successive turns. It's also known as a document signed in a circle around the edges to mask the order of the signatures so that the leader of the message cannot be identified.
Wow.
I know. This is so interesting, right? So the term dates back to the 17th century France. It's the anglicized version of ruban round, which means ribbon round. So back in the day, government officials would sign petitions or grievances on ribbons, which then they attached the petition in a circle. And later, the British Navy copied the practice by signing petitions in a circle, kind of like the spokes on a wheel. So each person would sign and kind of move it along so that you couldn't see how each person had voted on whatever the issue was. So that's kind of what we're doing today. We're blind sharing these topics back and forth. We go around and around in a circle.
Around and around where we go. I really do love that, though, that, I mean, the democratization of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, everyone should have their own vote, but we don't want to point out and say, like, you voted this way. Too bad democracy is failing.
I know. How did that work out for us?
So, friend, let's have you go first. What's your topic? What's your first fix?
That's going to be the title of this episode.
Totally.
Okay. So I've talked to you about this before offline, but I'm bringing it to the pod. So my first grievance goes to my neighbors who don't pick up their dog's poop. Let me fix it. Okay. Because we pay too much money to live in this apartment building for folks to not pick up after their dogs in the year of 2023. What's going on? Not only is it like doesn't take anything to clean up after your dogs, we have those little doggy bag stations around the inside the building.
Wow.
And on the street
corners.
They're
giving you all the bags and people are still not using them.
They're giving us the bags and people are not using them. And like, not that it would make a difference, the size of the poop, but I'm talking hardy. I'm talking, you need to bring a shovel. What are you doing? Okay, so here's my fix. Because this is an ongoing problem right now. It has not been fixed, but I'm trying. I'm really in my, like, you know, be the change you can see era. I got the strike energy flowing through me. Mm-hmm. So I decided that every single time I see a neighbor with a dog, I'm going to talk to them and I'm going to say, hey, have you noticed that people are not picking up their dog's poop around here? How do you feel about that? I'm going to gauge, see
not,
how they
not
feel.
Not Sherlock Holmes, though.
I sure the fuck am. I sure am. So I talk to them about it. And then I say, will you join me? Will you speak to every neighbor that you see with a dog? We're going to get to the bottom of this. Because I believe if we each start talking to people, we will find out who it is that's not picking up.
And you're gonna shame that person out of the woods.
We're going to weed them out. That's the plan. And so far, I have to say, I'm basically the mayor of this apartment building. I have met so many neighbors.
As a result of this.
And every single person I've talked to is like, I'm on board. I will absolutely. Now I know people's names. I'm like, hey, Tabitha. Hey, Samantha. Hey, little Choco Pup. Whatever your fucking dog's name is. And I make sure that they're picking up. We're going to find out who it is.
You know what's so funny is I want that person. The person's already shamed. You've already shamed them.
They're not shamed enough.
And she just looked at your face. She was like, I'm on board. Yes, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Now she's picking up
that's
that
dog. That's what I hope. Every single person, I say it and I like look at them hard. I'm like, how do you feel about
that? That underlid comes up.
I mean, I'm thinking that if I end up encountering the person, that their body language will show me that it's them. That
Sherlock
they won't know
Holmes.
How to
work. Just Sherlock.
Right? But, I mean, listen, this is me listening to all those murder podcasts.
Right,
I'm doing
right.
The like the body language analysis. I'm just thinking that the person will either visibly be like, oh, that does suck. Or to your point, they'll be shamed enough that they're like, fuck, they're on to me. And that now that people are being more aware, hopefully we will see them and catch them in the act.
Right. And I believe shame works. I think shame is a negative emotion, but I think social shame is part of how society works. We have
Bring
morals and things because, you know, we want a society that adheres to rules and such, laws and such. I have the same issue in my neighborhood. I don't even have a dog anymore. You'll hear me talk about this dog many times, classroom. I gave this dog back during the pandemic. She's fine. She's living well. Don't judge me. I've gotten enough hate from people about this
dog. She's been rehomed. embalmed, and she's in a better place. Not dead, just a different place.
She couldn't stand my ass, so we got her a new home, okay? But all around my neighborhood, they're just like landmines. And you're like, and listen, I don't have a dog, but I understand, like, sometimes it's running, you can't get it all up, right? Like, you have that with Flex, I'm sure. But the idea...
No, my dog likes fiber.
You'd be putting that pumpkin in his food.
That's not my story.
But there are landmines all over, and I'm like, to Sherlock Holmes, I want like a street camera to just find out who it is, and there should be a fine. There should be a fine for that. And I don't know if
one of my neighbors did say, like, I think we should put up cameras, and I was like, I don't think we should spend money on that. She's like, but they're not that expensive, and I was like, no. If we're gonna spend money, I have a list of notes for the building.
But there's also like CCTV, right? Now that's what I'm talking about. Like, get that CCTV, do some research, do some hunt them.
Yeah,
down.
I don't think we need to do all that, because then someone has to sit there and look through the cameras, and like, I just think that that's extra work, and I just feel like we can guerrilla. Accomplish this together.
Gorilla.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Delon, what is your... Do you have a potential fix other than cameras around my building, or...
I don't appreciate your tone, but
I'm like, did you see the podcast title? How you gonna fix my problem?
No, I really do think either cameras, and I mean, because you already have the bags, like you've done. It's kind of a person to person thing, and sometimes you might forget a bag or whatever. But I think, yeah, like all you can do is offer people the bags, and then if you don't want to do the research, I mean, you're doing hand to hand combat over here, right? You're going door to door trying to figure. It out.
I'm ready to track them down. And guess what? When I find out who it is, I might be putting up posters, wanted posters around my building.
See, how is that any better than looking at some video footage?
No, it's better because it doesn't take as much time. Like, I'm not going to be sitting there scrubbing through, you know, videos. But like, once I find out who it is,
you're talking about designing a poster.
Girl, you know I love to. She loves designing, and I have a printer. You gotta put that printer to use.
She said it's all in house. What do you mean?
it's laminated.
Wait, this doesn't help your problem, but like there's like an application process for getting a dog, right? You can just buy a purebred dog.
You can pay dog rent.
Oh, wait, at your apartment building?
I will say I got my therapist to write me a note. She said Fran needs the dog. I do need my man. He really helps me get through the tough times. But I have been here a full year, and then they were like, we forgot you had a dog. You're supposed to be paying dog rent. I was like, I'm not paying $50 a month for my dog.
Not when y'all raising the rent like they're raising the rent over there.
Hello. And y'all can't pick up the dog poop. So why don't y'all focus on that? Well, take that out of my rent.
I mean, well, give that job to management. Why are they not picking up the dog poop? If their owners aren't, shit. Clean up around the bomb.
It does end up getting picked up, to be fair. It's just the thing of like,
bougie.
I wake up in the morning and like the cleaning people haven't gotten here yet. And there's like a big steaming pile right out front of the door. You know,
I need you to say that sentence one more time. The cleaning people haven't gotten here yet.
Okay. You know what? There are people that, you know what? And you know what I'm also going to say? I love Steven, and I think her name is Griselda. And guess what? Every holiday, I get them a gift card.
Because
that's the kind of resident I am. Because they be out here making sure that our whole place stays clean and cute and tidy. And I know it's a thankless job.
Yes.
So, you know, they do their job. But to be fair, there are times in the day where I still encounter a pile.
Right.
And they haven't gotten it to it yet.
She's giving Esmeralda, you said, Steven and Esmeralda.
Griselda, I think is her name.
She's giving them the hookup. I hear that. Okay.
I sure am. Okay, so Delon, you're next.
Okay, great. So this is one of the things that I'm really frustrated about, so no public restrooms in New York City.
Ooh,
okay, so now do you remember living here, Fran, and like trying to find a restroom?
Oh, yes. I knew every Starbucks where you could go to the bathroom. But then the public bathrooms in New York would just be destroyed.
You play in the floor is lava with the toilet. You know, you better engage that, those thighs and that core.
Listen, I cannot imagine needing to sit on one. Like, I will hold a shit all day to make sure I don't have to sit on that damn thing.
No, no, we're not doing that in public. But if you have to pee, you need to use those thigh muscles like you do the wall sit in the gym. That's what you're doing over the toilet.
Well, I mean, also, like, I mean, I don't, now we're talking the mechanics of like peeing for a woman. It's like, if you have a jean on, it's precarious. Are your like hands on the side of the stall? Yeah.
Well, you can also do the like line the toilet with paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you really feel like you can't hold yourself up, I get it. But usually what I do is I use my elbows, my forearms. I hold on to the sides of the stall.
And just like hold it up.
Just, yes, you know. It's a workout. It's a workout. But it is. But sometimes you go in there, it looks like a crime scene.
Listen, there have been a couple of times after a night in Mexican where I was like, this is just. Wait, do you remember that story that when I first moved to New York and I was working at that talent agency and I was like so broke and I made that chili? You know where this is going. Oh, my God. Okay, so, guys, there are no restrooms in New York. We'll get back to the deeds, but let me tell the story quick. So I'm working at this agency, and I was very poor, and my theater director from high school was like, here's what I did when I was a poor young actor. I made chili, and I would just eat that for the week. And, like, you can put over bean or put it over rice or whatever. So I was like, oh, I'm going to make this Jamie recipe. I was like, I'm going to make this chili. I made that chili. That shit was so bomb. I ate it for dinner that night, and I tore it up. I had to go to work the next day.
And then it tore you up.
Girl, from toe to nose, like nave to chaps. So it was lunchtime. I went and I like had my lunch, which was also more chilly. And I was like, let me go walk. It was a nice summer day. I'm gonna go walk around New York City.
Not you doubling up on the chili.
As soon as my foot hit the sidewalk, the pavement, my ass was like, brr. I was like, oh fuck. So I didn't want to go all the way back of the elevator because the elevator takes a while in this building. So I was like, oh, there's a Starbucks on 23rd. Let me run to the Starbucks.
Wait a second. You were outside of your own building?
But it was, you don't understand. Like, it was lunchtime. So like getting back upstairs.
Oh, like at the agency.
Yeah, I was at the agency. And we were on the 20th floor or something like that.
Okay.
And so everyone was coming back waiting on the elevator. And I was like, I just need to like go, you know, and find one.
Right.
And like there was around the corner was a Starbucks. But I go to that Starbucks, and this is when Starbucks was like the king of letting people go to the bathroom. Like, you talk about a fucking crime scene. You can walk in a Starbucks bathroom without being like, God damn, like nose plug.
It was a
wreck. So there's a long line out of that Starbucks. I was like, fuck. I ran to another Starbucks because you can't spit in New York City without there being a Starbucks. So I got into that. A person was coming out. I go in. I'm tearing it up. Like, I'm fucking that bathroom all the way up. Fuck. So then I hear a knock at the door, and I was like, somebody's in here. Another knock. I was like, somebody's in here. They couldn't hear me. A third knock. I scream, somebody's in here. Then I hear a buzz. They had a door opener behind the counter, and they buzzed the door unlocked.
Why would they do?
This is the question. Why in God's name to avoid the key, having the key exchange, or how about just leave the bathroom open? How about that?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. They bust the door open. I'm like pants down, dick out, right? Like funky. And the carafe where you're filling in the milk is right there. So three heads just turn. And I'm like, come on, Santa! Fuck it! So then I gather my dignity and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go out. I go out and there's a manager standing right there with a smile on her face. And she hands me a gift card. And I was like, okay, well, at least that makes up for it.
A gift?
Bitch, why was there $2 on this gift card?
Because you were going number two.
See, I told you all she was quick. Wait.
No, that's... You can't even buy anything for $2 at Starbucks.
My point exactly. What am I getting at Starbucks for $2? Anyway, so...
But also, was that a common practice? I've never heard of that. Like, she buzzing was like, oh, you're so embarrassed.
Oh, like giving someone a gift card?
Yeah, because like, obviously this was an embarrassing situation for you. I don't understand.
I don't know. I guess that's kind of like the customer service. Give them something to like make up for the loss. But how about a free drink? How about like give him a free drink?
Yeah.
Because $2
is, I don't know. After that experience, I don't think you want to put coffee on top of your stomach. But I hear you.
You know I would, though. Logic. So there are no bathrooms in New York City. But if you live in New York, right? If you live in New York, you know there are certain places that you'll go. No longer a Starbucks. Starbucks was one of the first places that implemented the code for the bathroom. I was just at a Sweetgreen today having a salad, and I watched all these people, tourists, come in and try to go to the bathroom, and they got locked out by that code real good. And then they looked at the register, and the register was like, sorry, you need to buy something. So there are no public restrooms in New York, but my fix is to more of an adoption, okay? You can go to Central Park, you can go to Madison Square Park, you can go to maybe, you know, if you're at work here, you can go to your job or home, obviously. But in Paris, they have 400 free public restrooms that are all self-cleaning.
The self-cleaning is incredible.
I know. They are completely accessible to people with disabilities.
And they're like single stall ones,
single
too,
stall,
where like you're so not in there with a bunch of people. You just go, do your thing, and leave.
There's no complaining about who's in the bathroom or what's happening there. The self-cleaning thing is amazing because you are in there, and as soon as you get out, the whole thing is washed down and sterilized. Like, it's brilliant. New York City tried
it's
to do
like
this.
It's like that Gaga song, Rain on Me. Rain on me. The rain just starts coming down.
I want somebody to get trapped in there one time when they're trying to do the cleaning cycle.
Yeah, it is really amazing. When I went to Spain for your birthday, there were a number of those self-cleaning things, but they were paid. But they were like not very much. It was like a few cents, which I think, you know, the thing about New York is we would fuck that up in a second. Like,
people would be fucking in there. People would be all kinds of shit in there.
1,000%. I think you'd have to charge some money in order to just make sure that people weren't going to go in there and ruin it.
Well, and I will say this. We do have a few that are paid. There's one in Madison Square Park. There's one at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn. They ordered like 20 of them, but most of them are sitting in a warehouse collecting dust. Because tell me about New York. Because New York.
Oh,
so they ordered them. They just haven't installed them. But these are like 25 cents. And I think you get 15 minutes for 25 cents. But I'm like, I guess
15 minutes. Some people need a
I mean, but like, if you can't do it in 15 minutes, then like you have more of a problem. Like, you need to take your ass home. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's my fix is like to adopt the Parisian version of a public restroom, because I also don't want to have to run to Central Park, and Central Park's so fucking big. They have them in there, but I'm like, where's the map? You know?
Yeah. No. Central Park, and Central Park is also not, despite the name, it's not centrally located for everybody, right? So if you're in Brooklyn, you're not taking the train up to Central Park to go to the bathroom. My fix would be, like, I'm sure this probably already exists, but is there like an app for public bathrooms? I feel like that
has to be in existence,
right?
That absolutely has to be. And for tourism, like, that makes so much sense.
Or maybe there's like a toilet tour. Maybe it's like a little you pay a fee and I take you around and show you all the public toilets.
All the toilets. Well, I mean, I feel like you can also hack it, right? I feel like if you go in a hotel or something, maybe you can try to like say, oh, I'm a guest here, and go to the bathroom. Like public libraries, there, you know, I know this one in Lincoln Center.
Let me tell you, I love a Nordstrom. Doesn't have a code. You can browse the shoes and then slip into the bathroom and act like you were buying something.
I've gone to Macy's on 34th Street a bunch, but that Macy's be a wreck too. A Target, wreck. Those bathrooms are.
Yeah. I mean, see, I think that's the problem. And that's why the self-cleaning thing is a necessity, because eventually, if everybody's using these public restrooms, they're going to get destroyed. And the person working at Macy's or Nordstrom, like, that sucks. You're like, look, I'm just trying to get my commission. I don't want to be cleaning this bathroom.
Or like have a specific team that does that kind of work, like sanitation work for your business.
I'm sure they have that, but it's just the problem of like volume. You're getting too many people using these public restrooms. They're not made to be used by thousands of people a day.
Then listen, you need to mitigate the number of people that come into your business. Okay. So that's great. My fix to adopt the Parisian version. What's your next topic?
Okay. My next grievance for our round robin episode is men with microphones. Let me fix it. Now, I know this is ironic as we are on a podcast, but as
as I see it, there are too many men out here with microphones. There are, everybody has a podcast, and many of these shows have nothing to say. They're just excuses to talk shit. And I'm sure maybe you've seen these clips, DeLon, on Instagram or on Twitter, on TikTok. All these dudes doing man on the street interviews where they just have a microphone and they're just interviewing people on the street. And they're always the dumbest, lowest barrel of the bottom topics. It's stuff like, you know, do you care about a girl's body count? You know, what makes somebody qualified for marriage versus being in a situationship? How much money should you spend on a date? What does a woman bring to the table? Like, it's always just like very sexist dating and relationship conversations. Have you seen these videos?
I have seen some of them. I've seen like queer people doing them.
These ones are always straight people, and they're just so gross and obnoxious. So my fix is, you know how they have those buyback programs for guns to try and get guns off the street?
You're so dumb. You are so dumb.
I want a buyback program for microphones. Turn in your USB mics and we will give you some sort of incentive. Or in the same way that you have to take like a driving test, or, you know, before you get your driver's license, or the stipulations we're proposing for gun control, there's like a waiting period. Do you need this microphone? Can you wait 2 weeks?
You can.
And really think about it, and maybe type up a few sentences about how you want to use this microphone before we decide if we're going to give it to you or not.
Not an application.
Can we phone a friend? We need to check some references. You know what I mean? Like, is there a, you know, you take the eye test when you drive, you got to put one hand over your eye. We need something similar for the microphone test.
I hear you. My fix for this would be, instead of going on the street, let's go in your life timeline. So the people you need to be interviewing are the people from your life, and being like, give me 5 adjectives to describe me so that you can learn something about yourself. Okay.
I love this idea, because especially the ones where the guys are asking all these relationship questions, pick 5 people you had a successful relationship that you still in contact with. Let's talk to them. Because why are you out here asking everybody else about, does she deserve a ring, and how much money do you spend on a date? How much have you spent on a date, sir?
Right. Well, I would raise you, pick 5 successful ones and 5 unsuccessful ones, and then let's do an aggregate of all that information. Okay.
Exactly. Ooh, I really like that. If you are going to be the man on the street, or you're just going to be interviewing your bros, talking about what women should be doing and what kind of girls you like and what kind of bodies and blah, 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 you need to be self-reflective before you start doling out advice on how everybody else should be operating.
Well, and that also, like, that gives you more credibility to me. Like, you're just out here looking for sound bites. You're out here looking for content, but like, you know, raise your game, sir, ma'am.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Well, you're absolutely right that it is all about content. Like, there's, and that's, you know, dare I say, to like hype ourselves up, that's one thing I really love about our show, is that we're solution oriented.
Right.
We're not just being like, let's bitch and moan. And we also are coming with like facts and historical background and
context,
like doing etymology and like context. And even when we talk about our own personal lives, like, we add to the story and like explain where we're coming from and how we came to that point of view. These are just like, I think if a woman is going to be on relation with me, she better cook, right? Am I right? Brothers, is it just me, or you should be able to fuck on the side?
Oh,
I think, like, what are you talking about?
You know, one of my topics today was almost going to be incels, but I was like, yo, that is a whole, somebody can do a dissertation on that stuff.
I mean, that might be just a whole episode, but like, we absolutely, those are the types of people that this content is really speaking to.
Right. When I say incels, for those who don't know, it's involuntary celibate men, young men, generally.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we could do a whole thing about that, because that word was actually coined by a queer woman.
Was it really?
It was misappropriated. Yes, it was a community of people who were like lonely. You know, it was not this angry, like, why is no one wanting to sleep with me? It was people who were struggling to create successful romantic relationships, and she coined this term. And the thing that she talked about that
I thought was really interesting is the problem with these communities that are geared towards helping people foster relationships is once you foster a relationship, you leave the group.
Yeah.
So there are no success stories in the group.
Wow.
Championing people.
Wow.
You're like, hey guys, I fucked. I'm out.
Like I figured out, I got the key, guys.
I figured it out and then you leave. And so then it's just a bunch of people ruminating on how lonely and unhappy they are. And unfortunately they are primed to be taken advantage of by like weirdos. And a lot of these guys that are peddling this pickup artist, incel culture stuff.
God, yeah.
Those dudes are getting laid.
Negging,
they are
all that
preying.
Stuff.
They are preying on the folks who are lonely. And unfortunately has become a lot of young men. But it initially started as a self-help group for people who were like, I really want to find somebody. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. When I was doing like, before I decided not to bring it to the pod, which I did anyway, we're talking about it. So it's a good thing. But I did a little bit of research. I didn't know there was a queer woman that coined the term, but I did read that it was a community of both men and women. And I just think of it as like young men and women trying to figure out how to bridge that loneliness gap. And it was a lot of women, from what I understand. Please speak on this if you know more, but there's a lot of women coaching these young guys and saying, hey, if you really want to have sex with a woman, if you really want to meet a woman, here's how you should do it. Here's just some offerings on some things that might help you, which seems really productive. But to your point about losing people in the community, that's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. I mean, look, the reality is we do have a loneliness epidemic around the world.
Talk about all the time.
In this country specifically. And I think the pandemic absolutely exacerbated it. And then the internet, right? This idea that like we're all able to talk to and connect to all these people. But at the same time, it has made people kind of stay indoors and stay on their phones and stay on their computers. And then they don't know how to talk to people in real life. And so, you know, there's so many bad messages about relationships, especially for heterosexual people in media. So it's not surprising that there is a generation of people who are like, I don't know how to ask someone on a date. I don't know how to make a first move. And fucking porn's not teaching you the right way to do it.
Porn is messing you all up. Oof,
exactly. So yeah, there does need to be, you know, to bring it full circle, we don't need dudes with microphones who don't know what the fuck they're talking about indoctrinating young boys into thinking that the most important things are how much money you make and how big your dick is and who pays for what dates and how many dates before the person puts out. None of that stuff is what you should be filling people's heads with.
And again, if you want somebody else to answer those questions, I think you should provide people in your life who can answer those questions about you, sir, with the mic.
Yeah, and maybe some qualified folks. Like, not just like, here's my opinion. Like, what does the research say? Studies show. What do they show us?
Give it a DeLon factoid, okay?
All right, DeLon, enough about men with microphones. What would you like to fix next?
Okay, so I'm interested in improving bad customer service. Okay. Now listen, I've worked in customer service for a lot of my life. There have been many times where I was working a customer service job during the day and doing shows at night. So like, I get it. It's frontline work, right? It's not the easiest
it's
of
hard.
Work. And like customers are terrible. Customers, like people are draining. And if people are draining, then customers are a disease, you know? And I also understand that like you're, as a customer service person, you're the conduit between the business or the bridge between the business and the customer. So you're just there to provide the service. You don't create the customer service experience. So I get that.
Right. And you're not necessarily invested in the company's success. You're like, I'm not being paid enough to give a fuck.
And I also don't know what your circumstances are at that job. You know, you could have had a bad day. We're all allowed those. You could hate that job. Your manager could suck, right? There's a whole litany of things that could be happening that caused me as the customer to have the experience I'm having with you as the employee. But as the customer, sometimes.
Here we go.
But as a customer, sometimes it's just mind-boggling to me that like I did not ask you to work at Starbucks. I'm just trying to get my happy juice so that I can get on with my reality. Right? I'm like, really?
And then I'm trying to get the code to that bathroom so I can tear the fuck up.
You know what I'm saying? I'm only buying this coffee so I can use the bathroom and get the code. Right? Like, let's talk about it, brass tacks. But I do think, you know, sometimes these corporate companies, like looking at you, Delta Airlines, these corporate companies have all of these, like, take a survey to tell us how our customer service experience was. And I never do.
I never do
because they're like, you could win an iPad. And I'm like, how about you just give me a fucking iPad? And or...
And also, no one wins the iPad. I'm sorry. Listen,
if you have won the iPad, if you've won the iPad, please let us fucking know. Yes. I want to give me a picture with the iPad. Okay. I really want to fucking know. Nobody wins the iPad. But if you're, you know, Delta Airlines, give me some points and I'll take the survey. If you're, you know, a bank, put $5 in my account so I can take the survey. You know, credit card, take a percentage off of my bill every month and I'll take that survey. Because I do think it's valuable information. How you fix the actual real-time in-person customer service experience is a little bit of social shame as well. So for me, this is my fix. So, you know, in the airport, when they have those like little, the feedback, happy, smiley face things,
yes,
you can like, yeah.
Yes.
So I think at the point of sale, at your till, at your business, after I tap my card, there's that little smiley face thing that comes up and the customer, the employee actually has to say, how did I do today? And they can't see what you've chosen, but you can tap one of those things. Now I do some of them, you know, after you, they want all these point of sales, they have a tip feature now. I don't care what you buy. You could buy a pack of gum.
Which is so annoying because it's like, just pay people a livable wage.
Exactly.
Why is it I tip, but always. It's also like, you're kind of making me do the work of paying your employee fairly when you should just pay them fairly.
100%. Especially like if you, in a coffee shop, like if I just bought like, you know, a muffin, I'm not tipping you because you put that in the bag. But if you're like making the coffee, I'll do that. But at point of sale, I think those like the smiley feedback things should be there so you can tap it. And I get to give real feedback in real time. And the company also gets feedback. And then, I mean, what do you do with that data is the question, right? I think
then you aggregate
it and then you like, I don't know. I think you as the business have to decide that. But maybe it's a placebo effect. I, as the customer, would feel like, uh-huh, Gina, I'm giving it to you. Double sad face or like a mediocre face because you didn't say, I said hi to you and you ain't saying nothing to me. So what can I get
well,
you?
Well, see, this is what brings up for me is that I know so many customers would abuse that because when I worked in customer service, people would act a fucking fool. They would act as if the world has to stop turning for them. When I went to Anthropology, like we had a policy where you could return things without a receipt and people would bring shit that I know for a fact they had not bought at Anthropology.
Really?
They'd be like, yeah, here's a hammer. I need y'all to take this back. No, I'm so serious. And we'd have to like indulge them. We'd be like, well, I don't think we've ever sold this, but let me look in the computer. And we had to like look it up and then try to find something similar and be like, yeah, I guess this hammer sundress seems kind of similar.
Here's money. Like no matter what, you had to give the money back?
Well, we had to give them like store credit. They might have changed the policy now, but because we had that policy, we had a lot of customers who would we could also take returns up to like an unlimited amount of time. So people would bring like musty old fucking bloomers and shit they had bought at Anthropology like 20 years ago and be like, I want to return these. And then we would have to take them back. And I know for a fact that those customers, if given the opportunity to rate their interaction, would be like, it was bad. She had an attitude. Cause I'm like, ma'am, now you know this is old. Well, we don't want this.
And there's the point. There's the point. You have to like put that Fran face behind you. Put that Fran face behind you and go, oh my God, ma'am. Yes, I'd be happy to help you. And then she's gonna give you a smiley face because it's not your money. Anthropology was not hurting for cash.
No, they weren't. But, you know, for me, it's just the principle. I'm a principled bitch. And I'm like, you have worn this thing. You should not be able to return it. I just think, I get it.
But listen, Anthropology created that policy. Yes. You as the employee are just there. Again, you are the bridge between the customer and the business. All you had to do was go, uh-huh, and collect that $7.75. What did you make an hour there? Not enough.
I think I made made like 12. It wasn't a ton, but
not
I,
in
I
New
was
York
doing
City. That's not enough.
No, it's not. It's not. But like for retail, you know, I thought I was doing lifestyle of the rich and famous.
Isn't that crazy?
And I was getting a discount on those ugly ass clothes. I was like, it's a doily, but it's also a dress, and it only cost $200 when it should have been six.
Yo, I tried on this shirt recently, and I was like, $400. You know, I got them champagne taste, but I was like, y'all are ridiculous with this.
Oh yeah, and like it was truly a cult because, to your point about speaking in third person, that's how we talked about the Anthropologie customer. They'd say things like, "She really loves flowy skirts right now," and then when you would be like, "Should I buy this?" I'd be like, "Oh, she would totally buy that. She would totally wear that." And then you're like, "Okay, I'll buy it."
Wait, did they called her the Anthropologie woman?
Yeah, they just called her like she. They would say like, she's wearing this right now and she really loves mixed prints and she also loves this little witch boot, you know, whatever.
Listen, it sounds like he would enjoy she, okay? do you have a fix for bad customer service?
Oh, I don't. I mean, your point about how the employees are not invested in the company's success, I think something that actually kind of gave them some sort of like incentive to have better customer feedback. So if you're going to do that smiley face thing, if we can get 75% smiles within the month, everybody gets a $5 bonus.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
Or like, yes, we'll do an early Friday. We'll close the store Friday a little bit early and we'll do a cute little team building thing, or we'll go to the spa, or like we'll do something, you know, to kind of like boost morale, but also be like, we're all in this together, High School Musical. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like we're doing this thing.
I think that's a really smart add-on. Absolutely.
Yeah, because when I was working in retail, they would always be pushing us to, you know, make better sales. And we would do these meetings where we would talk about how the company is doing overall. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, none of this changes how much money I'm making. None of this reflects on my vacation time or my hours or gives me a longer break, right? Like, give me something that I want. If I know that our customer service has gone up and that means I get an hour and a half lunch break this week, bet. I'm going to like work a little bit harder. So incentivizing it, I think, would be my fix.
Yeah. I was dating a guy who was, I won't name the company, but he worked for a grocery chain and he talked about how much everyone loved working there.
Now I know which grocery chain it is because the people who love this grocery chain, they be evangelizing
they
in the streets.
Love this grocery chain. I mean, and they take really good care of them. I'm talking about
they
like
sure
paying for college, healthcare. Like, you know, multiple days a week off, right?
That's why everybody in that grocery store is happy and
they're
friendly.
So fucking, every time you go up to the fucking, I'm like, yo, I do not need your podcast. I have my own, right? They are literally at the register being like, how's your day? Oh, really? Where do you work? What do you do?
They're like, ooh, that's I love crazy. These pierogies. They're really
totally
good.
They're like, oh, have you tried these before? Oh my God, don't, the back says heat them up for 30 minutes. No. Give it 25, a little mushy. You're going
to
love them.
And if you want to be real smart, throw them in the air fryer. You're like, sir, can you just put the pierogies in the fucking bag?
I've had a full day. I'm really not trying to unpack. I'm actually trying to have
see,
you pack.
And now,
shit.
Delon, this is also full circle. Then you would give him a frowny face button. Meanwhile,
no,
he was
I wouldn't.
Just trying to do it. You
no,
wouldn't?
I wouldn't. I mean, not if you're trying to engage in that. I have so much empathy. I'm like, oh, you're trying. I'm always going to give you like a at least like a, what's the line? Just
the yellow face.
The yellow face. Yeah, the yellow face. The mid. Just the line in the mouth.
Just a line.
I'm going
to
give you that. What's your next one, Fran?
Okay, this is my last one. Media literacy. Let me fix it. I have been very frustrated as a person of the internet when I talk about things, whether it be the strike or a store that I recently shopped at or a book that I'm reading, and I will get comments from people that are just asking me essentially to look up information for them. They're like, what does WGA mean? Bitch, look it up.
Google
what's
is
the book
right
about?
At the fingertips.
Google it and read the back. Does the book also cover people that do A, B, and C? Can you just read? Is there an audio book? Yes, it's right there. Like, it happens to me so much. And then I saw this article that was saying that Gen Z supposedly is falling for online scams more than boomers do.
Really?
And it was really kind of talking about the fact that they spend so much time online and they feel so comfortable online, but they're lacking that extra intuitiveness to be like, is this real? Should I just do a gut check to just make sure that this, if I get sent something too good to be true, like doing the research. And I really feel like that's a symptom of the same thing where it's like, we're so used to being fed information all of the time that it's made people lazy. And it's not just Gen Z. I think everybody does this. To your point about customer service, when I was working at Anthropology, people would be like, what time do you close? Bitch, it's right there on the window.
When you walked in, it's the first thing you see.
Or they're holding their phone. This would always happen to me in the streets where people would say, do you know how to get to Times Square? I'm like, you have a whole computer in your hand that has a map on it.
To this day, in New York, I will not know where. I mean, I can give you subway directions or whatever, but I will not know the thing that you're asking. Or they'll be like, where's 323 North Avenue? And I'm like, and then I pull up my phone. Meanwhile, they have their phone in their hand and I'm going to Google 323 North Avenue, you know?
Yes. It's so ridiculous. And again, I think it is that thing of like having access to too much information. So people just have gotten so used to like these little bite-sized, like, I almost call it like the microwave generation. They just want like instantaneous results. So my fix is to bring back, remember the Scholastic Book Fair?
Oh, yeah.
Where you would get a prize for reading a certain number of books every month. Mm-hmm. And again, it would be incentivized. So kind of similar to my fix for the customer service thing, some sort of community sponsored book clubs where maybe your whole apartment building is reading one of five books. And there's some sort of like get together where we're learning about the books for adults and for young people. And then real incentivized gifts for accomplishing a certain number of reading. Because that's what it comes down to is like people lacking an intellectual curiosity and just learning about the world. So maybe you could win a grocery store gift card or a month off of your cell phone bill or Visa gift cards or, you know, a raffle to go to Disney World or something like that so that people feel like, okay, I'm not just reading because this is leisure. I'm reading to enrich my life, but also I gain more than just knowledge. I gain access to, you know, these free perks or something like that. And it could be kind of part of like a nonprofit organization could sponsor it. And so your apartment building could be like, this month we're reading this book, get involved and win a prize.
I really love that because it's community building too, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is something we've lost a little bit, especially, I mean, living in New York, I don't live in a big apartment building, but I really don't know my neighbors that well. And even if it is like your building or your neighborhood or whatever that is, your street, right?
Your office.
Yeah, your office, right? You are building community and then you actually have common ground. Not only like, do you know the people you're talking to, but we're talking about a specific topic and you're able to, expound on that. You have a connective tissue, a common energy, common knowledge together.
Yeah. And if you come across a word or a subject that you don't understand, like if you're reading it in context of a book, my thinking is that people will then like either use context clues to figure it out, or they'll do that work to be like, let me go look this up. And that could even be part of it. Like maybe some of the books that you're reading or the stories that you're reading are about like the research process,
right?
Are about like the thirst for knowledge and, you know, the story of a journalist and how they find sources and how they research things, like really making it tangible stories and books that people will find entertainment from, but also learn something from.
Yeah. And this is like the combat to the book bans, I think, first of all, that are happening in the US right now, Florida, but everywhere, right? The combat to book bans, but it also, it makes you feel smart. It makes you feel knowledgeable. It makes you like move that dial forward. I have friends who are in interracial relationships. These are gay men. I know that the four of them are, two of them are black, two of them are white. And the white men are part of a book club that is all for white people who are in interracial relationships.
Wow.
And they read books like, you know, How to Be an Anti-Racist, all that kind of stuff. And they have a safe space where they're able to unpack the things that they're dealing with. not only with their partner, but just in the
with
world.
Each other.
With each other. Yeah. And you don't have to censor and you don't have to feel bad. And I think it was such a, I heard about it. I was like, that's such a brilliant idea. Because it makes you have agency over what you're learning and agency mm-hmm. over how to speak about it, right? Again, to simplify it, just makes you feel smarter, I love that.
Yeah, I like the thing that you mentioned about having agency. And I often say that, I've said that in my book, I've said that in my work, of like doing your own homework, that mm-hmm. someone else can't do it for you. And that ultimately you are going to, the message is going to resonate with you because you did that work.
Right.
You know, speaking as someone that cheated all through Spanish, I didn't retain shit because I put more time into cheating on the Spanish test than I did learning the vocabulary and making sure that I understood, you know, how to conjugate and whatnot. And so it sounds like the book club that you're talking about is very similar. You read the information, you talk to other people about it, you get to process each other's feelings and your own feelings, and then it's going to actually permeate your brain in a real way rather than just somebody explaining to you, oh, here's what privilege means.
Right.
Oh, here's what, you know, happened in Tulsa or whatever, you know, the topic is.
Right. That's also why we went to Spain this summer for my birthday. That's why she couldn't speak a lick of Spanish.
And that's why I was feeling truly, I felt like the ghost of Christmas past were like haunting me. Like I was seeing ninth grade Francesca being like, all you gotta do is write the answers on the inside of this water bottle. And then when you drink from the water bottle, you can see the vocabulary.
Did you
inside
really?
Delon,
like you went to lengths though.
The fact that I spent so much time figuring out a way to cheat on my fucking Spanish test. And then here I am in Spain 20 years later being like, ¿Cómo se dice bathroom? Like,
Totally.
I mean, I do know baño, but I didn't know. That's how I ended up kissing that man in the club. I don't know what he was saying.
He said, well, we do know what he was saying. Hotel. That shit still kills me. Hotel. Dead.
Okay, how would you fix the media literacy problem?
The media, I think your fix is really good, but I think before you are able to post something, you should have to like put it through a fact checking thing. You should have to like go to Snopes.com or whatever that thing is. You just have to put it through a filter so that you know what you're saying is accurate. You know what you're saying is true. Cause there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah.
There's so many facts that are contorted. I think, before you
AI
come out,
is fucking the girlies up.
Okay. Before you come out popping off, I think you should, that's one way that we could fix a little bit of literacy problem. Cause you can go, oh, I have to learn about this thing before I can say something about it. You know what I mean? It doesn't
really
fix
like
your problem of people being like, what's the WGA? But but hopefully like that small thing could then branch out and, teach people.
Or maybe
things.
Like to your point about that thing about like a little fact checker, maybe there's like a plugin in your browser that when you type the comment, what is the WGA, the browser plugin pops up the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like it combs the internet for you. Like it's a let me Google that for you plugin or something.
I love that because the iPhone kind of does that now. Like I end up looking up a lot of words that I want to make sure I use a lot of words. I'm like, is that the actual definition of the word?
I do that I do that with spelling.
All
I just
the time.
Plug it into Google and see if Google like corrects my spelling.
And then we'll automatically, the iPhone will drops down and goes, oh, this is the definition of that word. And I'm like, mm-hmm. or you can right click, whatever the right click of that is on the iPhone, and it'll tell you the definition, which I love because I love
I
words.
Mean, that's also why it annoys me because literally you will be typing like, what does and then Google will just fill in the rest of the question for you. They know what you're going to ask, or they remember what other people have asked. So really we have no excuse.
I know. One of my favorite things though is not favorite. Actually, it's like, girl, damn. You'll put something in Google, like how long does it take? And they're like, to have a baby or like, you know, or like, how does it take? How long does it take for that rash to go away?
You're like, why do? And Google's like, black people steal so much. what?
Google.
Why are people Googling that?
Okay.
And fuck you.
And is that's the algorithm is telling you that many people are Googling that thing?
I know.
So funny.
Okay, before we continue with our round robin, let's take a little break and we will be right back.
Cool.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay, now that concludes the round robin games. I think we did a really good job of pitching some fixes, but also getting some things off our chest. Legit. Don't you think so, Dawn?
I do. And I love that ours are like, you know, everyday life kind of things, you know?
Yeah, it's a mix of like real shit and then like silly shit, which I think speaks to the topic and the theme of this podcast. So now it is time for everyone's favorite segment, the glow up, where we give props to those who have turned themselves around without our help. Since I went first for the round robin games, Dawn, why don't you tell us what your glow up is this week?
My glow up this week goes to water. I know it sounds dumb, but I don't know when or how it happened, but I'm obsessed with seltzer water.
Yes.
Yo, it's a water's rebrand, mm-hmm. and it's not as boring as water. It's effervescent. You can put it in a cocktail. You know, he loves a cocktail. But people have really strong opinions about seltzer water or sparkling water or whatever
they
y'all
really
call
do.
It out there. They're like bubbles, no thank you. Where do you stand on to bubble or not to bubble?
Oh, I am pro bubble. A lot of people dislike it. I've heard people describe seltzer water as drinking static television, which it does check out, but I kind of like that about it.
I dig the comp. Somebody said that drinking warm seltzer water was like drinking semen. And I was like, okay.
Oh God. Well, okay. You don't want it warm for sure. Yeah. I want it to be, I call it like a spicy water. I want my water to bite me a little bit.
Yeah. Right. And you're not guzzling it down. You're sipping it like it's mm-hmm. wine. I'm clearly an alcoholic.
You're putting a little squirt of lemon or lime in it.
Right. Do you remember those little Mio things you could put in your water?
Yeah, I never liked those.
Okay, well, you suck.
sorry, but I affirm you.
Well, seltzer water, like I just bought a SodaStream, I think last
you did?
Year. I did. I invested.
Do you use it?
I'd use it all the time, but I bought like little glass carafes to keep the water in, but they're not enough. I have to get two more because I drink so much of it. And I
love my little funny. Soda. I feel like everyone I know that has a SodaStream is like, I have one, but I never use it. So kudos to you. You're glowing up the SodaStream.
I'd be using it. Also because like, yo, I go to Soho House or somewhere and get some seltzer water. I'm like, $11?
No,
for a bottle of water. But some of the brands, just to point them out, that are like all the rage, LaCroix or LaCroix. At some that it, I don't know, people
it's
love.
It's supposed to be LaCroix, but I say LaCroix.
Is it supposed to be LaCroix?
I think because of where the town is that the brand is inspired by.
Is it in America?
It is, and I don't. It truly that X is like fucking me up because I want to say LaCroix.
I want to say LaCroix. Tell me I'm wrong.
You are absolutely wrong. LaCroix. It's supposed to be LaCroix.
LaCroix. There's also San Pellegrino, which is
love a San Pellegrino.
They have a flavored San Pellegrino, and they put sugar in it, and I don't like it. But like,
no, I don't want the sugary ones. I want the ones in like the light
green bottle
canned.
Oh
no, the it's like a light gray can. Oh, they're so good.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, I love. Mm-hmm. A San Pelle. Also like their spike seltzers.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see it on the dock.
Spike seltzers, a White Claw. Yo, call me a sorority girl or what, but I would drink a whole pack of White Claw on a summer's day.
That was a Fran voice. A White Claw.
It is. It totally was. On a summer's day, and I will tear that up. There's also a brand called Sparkling, Truly Spiked. I forget who the parent company of Truly Spiked was. But those are some spiked seltzers that I would highly recommend.
I've had some of those. They are very tasty. I like that they're not like alcohol heavy. Yes. Like it doesn't feel like you're drinking alcohol. They're very light.
And there's no sugar in them really. So it, I don't know. It just feels, it's like, you know, spike. It's like seltzer water with a little schmalky. And there's this one that I avoided like the plague until I was like, asked this person at a coffee shop, I was like, where is this seltzer water? I'm like, no, that's still. Oh shit, I wanted seltzer water. And they're like, oh, you can grab the liquid death. I was like, wait, what?
I've seen those. Those are so weird. They feel like it's like marketing water to men. Oh. It's like, I don't drink water. I drink liquid death.
I mean, well, if liquid death to me, I thought it was an energy drink because they were like, your eyes are like, there's a skull on it, like a burning skull flying through
the
air.
And the can is black with like gold on it. It looks like a beer can.
It really does. But someone said to me recently, like, I didn't know you were a guy who drinks those. I was like, I was just looking for some seltzer water out here and they gave me this bullshit. But liquid death evidently is a straight seltzer as well. And I mean, I'm drinking it. I don't mind.
Really funny. You don't look like a liquid death. Yeah. I guess I would not peg you as such. To me, it feels like a guy with like a trucker hat and a handlebar mustache.
Who's trying to hide the fact that he's drinking seltzer water.
He doesn't want you to know that he's drinking water. He's like, drink water's gay. I drink liquid death. Like,
you're so right. So that's my glow up. Water. Way to glow up. Way to get bubbles in you. Yes. What's yours this week, friend?
Oh my God. We are so funny. I also have a personal glow up this week. My glow up goes to Subway. Mm. That's right.
Eat fresh?
Yes. Please bear with me, okay? I know that the formerly disgraced Subway shop has gone through some ups and downs. They were attached to Jared. Oof. And I don't feel like they ever really came back from that. But I don't know what happened to me. But the other day I was driving and I passed by a Subway and I was like, bitch, I'm about to park and get me a Subway sandwich. I'm going uptown. I'm going downtown. I'm going downtown, crosstown. I'm taking that Subway, baby.
Oh, wait a minute.
Where there's
New York.
A will, there's a way. I'm going all the way Subway. I want a 6-inch. I want a foot long. Give it to me.
Are we talking about subs? Are we just talking about Subway?
Yo, are you going to go my way? Yes.
Jody's I'm going to Subway. Listen.
Swing the sub my way. Sure tastes good to me. I tore that fucking Subway sandwich up. I tore it up and I got a cookie. DeLon.
No, Subway cookies are everything though.
DeLon, everything. Let me tell you, I went back a second day.
No, she didn't.
I sure did. I got a 6-inch the first day and I was like, tomorrow I'm getting foot long. I was like, I tore that. Something about the bread. It was an Italian herbs and cheese.
No, Italian herbs. Oh, wait. You always get the Italian herbs and cheese.
I love the Italian herbs.
Do you remember when Subway was like the healthy option?
Yes.
I was like.
And like you were supposed to eat Subway every day. And then like, lose weight.
I guess, well, back to Jared. Okay.
Right.
The white macadamia nut cookie though. Did you have one of those?
Ugh. Listen, I got my Subway sandwich toasted. Mm-mm. I got a little sun chip on the side. Ooh, yes. And a cookie. I was licking my little fingers. I don't know what it was, DeLon. I was having like an out-of-body experience while I was eating the sub. And I was like, damn, Subway really fell off. Because I remember back in college, there would be a line out the door at Subway.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I was
yes.
in there by my lonesome. I was like, hello, does anyone want to work? They were in the back just chilling.
You know what's so funny? Every time I go by a Subway, they are fairly empty. Nobody goes in there anymore. I don't know. I guess it was the Jared thing, but I would argue
that. How are they still open? I don't know. Well, because I'm sure
some company owns them, like McDonald's or something owns them or whatever.
Yeah, maybe we need company. To do an episode about them because it did really feel like they were everywhere. Because literally the minute I said Subway, your face was like, fresh, really? But I'm telling you, I got an Italian BMT and it was good to me.
I bet it was. I bet it was. Okay, listen, I'm a Jimmy John's fan, but I think
I do love a Jimmy John's
took over where Subway, like the Subway space. It really
they
did.
Don't have those here in Los Angeles.
They don't have them here out in New York either. It's like a Midwestern thing or something.
I was tearing up a Jimmy John's in college.
In college, I would go and get that girl. I would go and get the day old bread for like 75 cents because you know you're a big old roll of bread and just put some cheese on that thing, some hummus. Mm-hmm. Forget what you heard. forget what you heard.
Oh my goodness. Well, the round robin game, I am declaring a huge success.
Ditto.
But we want to hear from you, listeners. What did you think of this week's topics and fixes? What do you need fixed in your daily life? Please let us know. Or maybe you want to suggest a TV show, a celeb, or a brand that you think we should fix in a future episode. You can hit us up on Instagram at FixItPod.
And if you enjoyed this episode, as always, please sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
I'm Francesca.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You go first.
Until next time, I'm DeLon.
I'm Francesca. And this was Let Me Fix It. Why do we both go like that?